faithful. It's used often to describe God's faithfulness to us and maybe our faithfulness to Him. But Pastor Tim challenges us to understand that it's not just about our faithfulness to God, but to one another in community. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, we're talking about that Christian maturity. All that 5 minutes doesn't go into my time for my sermon now. Just remember that. Okay? We're going to talk about a Christian maturity this year and what it means to grow in the Lord. And I hope and pray that you have taken this seriously within your heart, and that you're allowing the Lord to mold you and to make you and to really mold you into something that you thought that you would never be. Isn't that an exciting thing to even think about? Is that the Lord will mold us into something that we never could imagine? You know, the Word says that He can go far beyond what we could ever imagine. And I hope and pray that you're allowing Him to do that, to do a work in your life, and not staying here, that you're moving, and that that the Lord is doing something beautiful in your life. And so it's been great that we've been preaching on the fruit of the Spirit and on the other works of the flesh. But let me say this too. We often hear from a different type of religious circles, really in the Christian faith, that you know that when Jesus comes in, I am free, and I agree with that. Praise God, I am free. I've been set free. But that means something to a lot of different Christian circles sometimes. You know that the Lord has granted me freedom to live my life. And some of these circles make claims sometimes that I disagree with. Is that now we're free from, you know, and that we can kind of just sit back and do some things that I would still call sin. But we have freedom in Christ, they say. And it's almost, when I even talk about it, it doesn't make much sense to me. But you know, in those circles, we find those things where sin has become almost, you know, we just got to pat it a little bit, you know, and say, you know, it's, you know, we're not going to talk much about sin, and that we're free in Jesus Christ. I've been around folks like that. But then there's always that other extreme that says that we have this legalistic way of living where almost everything under the sun is wrong. Is that if I slip up and move just to a little bit to either way, then God's going to strike me dead, type thing. And so we have that within this Christian circles that we think. But I find Paul here is kind of slicing it down the middle, per se, if you want to say it that way. Barclay says this, that for Paul, it was essential that Christian freedom should mean not freedom to indulge in the lower side of human nature, but freedom to walk in the life of the Spirit. But freedom to walk in the life. It's not to indulge in the lower, what he calls the lower side of human nature, but it's the freedom to walk in the life of the Spirit. It's that we're free. And let me just read the scripture out of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's a little bit lengthy, but it really sums up some things that we've been talking about. It says, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Did it change? But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. It says the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your immortal bodies, also through his spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are adapters, not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry out, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Is in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Amen. Is that some good scripture? Amen. Is that we are alive in him. I get out of it, we're alive in him. That I don't have to dot every I or cross every T. I'm shooting for that bull's mark. That it says, I'm going to wake up and I want to live holy today, live righteous today. And Lord, that's what you have called me to do today, is to live holy today and to live righteous today. And that is my motivation. That's my heart's intent, is to get up and to live for him and to live with him with all faithfulness, to live with him in all holiness. Well, the work of the flesh today is called out of jealousy. We find that in Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26. I won't take time to read it today. But it says here that the work of the flesh is out of jealousy. Jealousy. Not a nice word. Would you agree with that? It's an ugly word. It really is an ugly word. This word here, when it's down deep in our heart and within our spirit, this word has broken up marriages. It has broken up a business of partners, employee to employee. One employee is jealous of another employee getting a promotion, and jealousy sits in. I've seen it friendships, families. I've seen siblings, you know, jealous of one another, and probably even nations have been divided or conquered because of jealousy. We as a Christians, we fall for it. Maybe not even realizing it at the times. You know, the Greek defines it as this: to desire to have what someone else has, but it's a wrong desire for what is not even ours. It's that desire to have something that is not ours. Let me ask you this question here: how many times in your life you have longed to be someone else? Oh, you have longed to have what other people have. Can we just say amen? There's been a time in our life, maybe, for some, it might be something small. For others, it might be something really, really, really big. You know, it is that we've longed for something. That jealousy rises up in here and it says, well, why do those folks down the road have it so good? You ever said that? What do why those folks have it so good? And that jealous spirit rises up within us. You know, I can remember those days when I was really jealous of different ones. You know, being in school, I would look at some others and it seemed like that they had it all together. Or I looked at, you know, all the football stars and different ones. And I used to sit around and, you know, they would go out on dates. And I didn't date at all in high school. I was scared half to death to ask someone to junior senior prom. Oh, my goodness. It didn't bring, it makes me nauseated to even think about it now. It was so bad. You know what I'm saying? And I longed, and it really hurt my heart because of a certain way that I felt about those things. And that jealous spirit would rise up in me. And it would really take me places that I did not want to really go. I remember those days. Because I wanted always to be someone else. It seemed like everyone else had everything except me. Is it self me? See, it's very clear this is a work of the flesh. Because it's based upon many times our desire to have someone else's talent, how their career, how their money, how their looks. I know many desire that for me. Jealousy. Not my money. Even family. And if Heidi was in here, there was a time, and she's testified to this, the jealousy that she had, and I would call it that. When, you know, our first years of marriage, that she would always say, why did you get to grow up in a family like you had, and I had to grow up in a family like I had? And it bothered her. She struggled with it for a very long time. And then she got to know my family. Yes. You know, I'm like, oh, never mind. So, that just shows you when we're jealous of other things, we better be careful what we're jealous of. I'm glad most of my family, they're gone, but they're watching. It's a work of the flesh. It's a very damaging work of the flesh. Very damaging. It damages us. It damages us. It really does. I think there are times when I think people take their own life because they're desiring to be like someone else. Is that they're so miserable with their own skin, is that they constantly have this jealous desire to be someone else. And it leads to things that, when we go down, it takes us down roads that we don't want to go down. There are times that take us down these roads that we want to be like someone so much, it takes us down roads that we try to act like someone else and what they do and the things that they do. And it takes us down roads that we don't want to go. But we go anyway because we feel like they just want to fulfill us. Or it's going to fulfill that void within us. If I could just be like this person, if I could just have this right here, if I could just have this one thing, then it will fulfill me. That void would be gone within me. And it leads us to addictions. It leads us to many different things in our life. That jealous spirit that rises up in us. It damages us. You find yourself wanting to be, no matter what the occasion, you find yourself wanting to be someone else. And no matter what that someone else is and why you want to be them. You say, well, Jim, I don't want to be someone else. But I guarantee you down deep that you look at others and say, I wish I could be that. I know when I was a young a preacher and I would hear different ones preach. And I would go back, oh, man, they can preach. Lord, I want to be able to preach like that. You know, I want to be able to move, and when I preach, like seems like you just move and it's woo. Then you realize, he says, but I called you to be you. Amen. Let me talk to you about this a little bit. I was created by the Lord to walk in Him, to walk in the Spirit, to walk with Him and in Him and Him through me. But when we desire to be somebody else, it's just like we're destroying the very essence of what being a Christian is. Destroy it. I believe that salvation restores. Listen, I believe that salvation restores us to what God wanted us to be at the beginning. Amen. Understand? Now let's follow along with it a little bit. I believe that when salvation comes in, it restores us like He wanted to restore Adam and Eve, all of creation. So when Jesus comes and we accept Him as our Savior, it's like He restores us to the very moment of creation. That we begin to be who He wanted us to be from the very beginning. Without all the sin, without all the mess. Understand? Are you following me just a little bit? Is that He restores us to that moment that we're pure. We're holy. It's almost like we, without sin, at that moment when Jesus comes in and saves us and sets us free. It's in that moment that He brings us back to that where He wanted us to begin with. But we all, and something that really, when I had a theology in college, I remember Dunning saying something very good. He says, when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam and Eve were created, they had the choice not to sin or to sin. And he says, and every single one of us have that same choice as they had. But every single one of us still choose to sin. And so salvation comes in and restores us to the place where God really desired for us to be at the very beginning. And so when a jealous spirit rises up in us that we want to be something other than what God had created us to be, is we destroy the framework what I call a redemptive creation. We destroy it, we strip it down. We even look in the eyes of God and say things like, God, you messed up. Is that you didn't know what you were doing when you created me. Is that you don't have a clue. I should have been like this person. I should have been like this person. Can't you look at me? I look in the mirror and I don't see someone very handsome or very pretty. I look in the mirror and I have no gifts or talents. So why couldn't I be the one that could play the piano like Brother Stan or sing like Amy did this morning? Or be able to stand and to teach or be able to shake people's hands without being afraid of saying something? Why do I have to be the one that kind of sits in the corner a little bit? And you know, and there's nothing wrong with sitting in the corner up here if you're not one of those people that are outgoing. God has a plan for you. You don't have to be like Stan or like Amy or like a teacher. Is that when jealousy rises up, I wish I could sing like that. I wish I could teach like that. Now, for me, and for years there, just 2 or 3 years, I wish I could preach like that. Is that we strip God of any power in us, pretty much. Is that we walk in the flesh, and we lose sight of who God really wanted us to be. And don't, because He did a good job in you. Amen. He did a very good job. So don't take that away. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, understand this, that God has redeemed you. And He has set you on a journey and a path that is beautiful and it's holy. I spent the first 20 years of my life wanting to be someone else. And praise God, when I was in my, right before I turned 21, praise God, I gave my life to Jesus. And I began that day of being who He always wanted me to be. That's a beautiful thing to say. It's a gorgeous thing to say. I can just sit here and name person after person after person. Brother Jonathan, Brother Flash, you know, I look at you. What God has done in your life. That day of salvation was the day that you began being who He had wanted you to be from the very beginning. And when we wish to be someone else, or like someone else, or have what they have, it leads us down roads that we don't want to go. I know where it led me. It led me to have a hatred for God. It did. It led me to have a hatred for God. Saying, Lord, why? You know, I always wanted to be a preacher. No, my testimony, son, but this part I hadn't said a lot about. I always had a vision or a goal or a dream. I saw it a dream to be like my father, to be a pastor, to be able to preach. But, you know, I stuttered. So therefore, in my mind, how can I be a preacher and stutter? Understand? Makes kind of sense, doesn't it? It's pretty, does it? Or wow, that's stupid. It kind of makes a little sense to me. It made perfect sense. And so I always wanted to be someone else. And I would get angry. And I would look at something like I grew up with a Jay. And how the Lord was able to take him and take him to heights. And I was like, well, Lord, why? Why do you bless him so much and hate me so much? You understand? See the thought process in jealousy? Lord, why do you love him and hate me so much? It leads your mind and your heart to go down paths they don't need to go. But that's where it takes us. And praise God, I know Jay. I don't want to be like Jay. I just send him that little thing. Send it to him. I'm kidding. Love Jay very much. He's a man of God. That's where we are. And I don't know who's sitting here today that says, you know, that's me. That's me. That's me. I come to know that I'm beautifully made. And I have worth. And when we say beautiful made, we constantly in America we go to physical stuff, and I'm beautiful made inside and out. in God's image. And I'm thankful for that today. I want to be me and what God has for me. And we're walking in the Spirit and being who God wants us to be, then we can be faithful. Then we can be faithful. We can walk and have the fruit of the Spirit and faithfulness. That's the fruit of the Spirit today I want to talk about, just touch on. Faithfulness. Our minds directly go to being faithful to the Lord and Him faithful to us, and that's where it should go. But this word here is functioning as more about faithful to one another and the fruit of the Spirit here. About being faithful to one another. Really, truthfully, being faithful to one another in a marriage covenant, in a friendship, in a church member, to an employee, to an employer, being faithful to one another. You know, if the Christian people are not faithful to one another, how can we expect us to win people to the Lord? If they see unfaithfulness between what you want to call God's people, is that He calls us to be faithful people. That we, it basically means that we rely on one another. We're reliable. Is that when we say something like, "I'm going to pray for you," we actually pray for you. That we're faithful to pray. That we're reliable when it comes to that, when the pastor stands up and say, "Hey, we really need some nursery ministers," I would call you. A passionate follower of Jesus Christ who really, we need some more to really to minister to some babies or some children. Is that you're faithful to that call. It's about a fruit of the Spirit that rises up through the Holy Spirit living within us, that we're faithful to one another. That we're faithful to church members, that like we did today. We stood up and said, "I promise to encourage, to pray, and to lift up. I promise not to speak against you at all. I promise these things. I want to be faithful to you." We, as the general church, Big C, we've lost that somewhere along the line. It's more about running in and us doing our thing and running back out. Faithfulness happens in small groups. Faithfulness happens in hospital rooms. Faithfulness happens those moments at an altar call when someone comes down and all of a sudden two or three, four or five people come around them and say, "I got you," and put your hand on your back. And when I'm praying at the altar and I feel someone's hand on my back, you know what I sense? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I sense those moments when a tragedy happens in my life and a loved one is gone now, and all of a sudden people come out of woodworks. Faithfulness. Also, those moments when I'm on the mountaintop and I'm rejoicing about something and people are rejoicing with me. Faithfulness. 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 Those moments when I'm called in a membership class to be faithful to Freedom Church, to welcome everyone warmly. I go over this and just some of the things in the highlights. I go over, you know, about our lives to live holy and above approach. Is that, you know, like my father said, and Patrick put it on the wall down there, that everyone's going to find something wrong with you, but at least make it hard for them. Amen. At least make it difficult for them to find something wrong. People's going to find something wrong a lot of the times, but at least make it hard and difficult for them to find something. And then when people do find something wrong, is that, as I preached a few Sundays ago, yes, it matters what people think of me, but I don't allow it to dictate my actions. There's a difference there. It matters what you think of me. It does matter. You know, we say, it don't matter why, but, you know, we bow up. I don't bow up too much, remember? It scares people when I bow up. Is that we bow up. I don't care what people think of me. As a Christian, you should care. I don't allow it to dictate my life, but I should care. Being faithful to one another, to live holy, is for me as your pastor to live holy is not just being faithful to the Lord, but it's being faithful to you also. Because I cannot stand here and preach every Sunday and after Sunday and be able to serve you and be there for you and to watch over you if I wasn't living a holiness life. Couldn't do it. could stand here Sunday after Sunday and open up God's Word and be able to preach the gospel. And so I want to be faithful to you. And I know there's times you're faithful to me many times over. It's just not something that we do. It's something that we are. The fruits of the Spirit are not something that we do again. It's not something that we do. That's works of the flesh. It's something that we are. Understand the difference in that. If we get up and say, well, I got to go be faithful today, you'll never be faithful. You'll hit it there and yonder. You'll very seldom ever be faithful. But when you wake up and say, I'm a child of the living King, and faithfulness is just who I am, because, Lord, you're faithful, and if Jesus Christ is faithful, and I'm supposed to imitate what Jesus does, and therefore I'm faithful, if he's faithful, then I have to be faithful. It's the living Spirit of God living in me that's coming out of me to be faithful. And it's a telltale sign if you're not faithful. If you're walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. Jealousy takes over. Jealousy takes over. Faithfulness goes right out the window. Right out the window. You know, we often now talk about anger and stuff. Talk about jealousy. You know, there are times that I've had men, especially, that are so jealous of their wives that if somebody looked out in a restaurant wrong, they would just bow up at them. I'm just thinking to myself, you know, no, I just beat them, I think. And I'll be going to a restaurant or something, and I'll catch somebody looking at her. I go, yeah, man, how's she mine? Being faithful to her. She's mine. Jealousy will destroy you. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your family. It will destroy relationships with your brother and your sister. It will destroy your relationships at work. It will destroy you. And the Lord calls us as Christian people not to walk in it. Not to walk in it. Not to walk in it. I know there's a lot of a parenting that happens, and I get this talk sometimes that when one, you know, like sometimes, and I've seen this throughout my ministry, where there will be either the father or the mother will be jealous of the stepchildren, and it tears the whole family apart. We could just go on and on about how jealousy just destroys us. But I'm thankful, and I know if I have the Spirit of the living God in me, that I can be faithful. I definitely be faithful to my wife, Heidi. Faithful to my children. Then after that, I want to be faithful to you. Faithful to my family. So the question still remains. Are we going to live by the flesh? Or be led by the Spirit? Allow the fruit of the Spirit just to flow out of us. Here's a quick story, Cam. About being faithful. You know, I had been a counselor in a camp in years. This is the first children's camp, you know, and there was a lot of like junior high age. I mean, not junior high, like juniors in high school, and some that had just raised high school, they were all leaders and stuff. And I'm a 52-year-old senior pastor. And the guy over says, well, you usually don't like senior pastors coming to counselors. Y'all usually are terrible. The counseling. I was like, well, that's just starting off really good. Here's the thing. Just a quick side note. Understand your place, and everything will be fine. So I allow these 16-year-olds, 7-year-olds, you just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But it was interesting. This family, they brought by this little guy. He was about that tall. Real skinny. Red as red could be. Hair. But one of the things they didn't tell us, and they found out, you know, real quickly, he had a form of autism. They came, he just had one pair of shoes on, very little clothes, and they just dropped him off. I'm not judging the parents at all here, please. Don't get me wrong. So he was in this other guy's dorm, and Josh is his name, and I told him I was going to use him in a sermon real soon. I didn't know it was going to be this soon. And I said, he was in his dorm, and so, of course, little Joe was very needy. So Josh wasn't even supposed to be there. They needed some more male counselors. And so his brother, older brother, was there. He called his daddy, which Josh works for, and said, "Hey, Dad, you got to give Josh a week off. We need him here." And his daddy says, "Josh, I'm going to pay y'all a week, but you got to go to camp." So that's one of the reasons Josh was even there. He was, you know, Josh is just a fine-looking man, 29 years old, and just an athlete-type person, you know, just kind of. But I watched throughout that week, that whole week. Wherever you saw Joe, you saw Josh. Wherever you saw Josh, you saw Joe. And I don't know where Josh is spiritually or anything. I don't know him that well. And we're the last day. Talk about being faithful in the moment. I watched that, and that Josh was built, you know, down on his knees in front of little tiny Joe, with tears rolling out of his eyes, and hugging him, and saying, "Little Joe, I'm going to miss you." And I know, Joe, I don't know how much he comprehended of all that, but boy, he was loved that week. I don't know what type of love he gets at home, but that week, buddy, we all just loved on little Joe, you know? And I watched and I said, "Well, what a picture of faithfulness that you called us to be." In that moment for a week that Josh might not ever see Joe ever again, but for one week, he was faithful and allowed the fruit of the Spirit to flow out of him into that little boy. We were all standing in the cafeteria. I was crying and the other counselors were crying. We were just watching this beautiful sight of Jesus. Understand? So when we fall for jealousy, when we fall for all of that, we can't be what Josh was for little Joe. Josh could have been jealous of us. Another counselor going said, you know, Josh said, "Well, Tim, what time do your boys go to sleep?" "Oh, they must be down at 10. They went to bed at 10 o'clock. I was telling the story. But he could have been jealous of that. Seriously, you might think that's funny, but yeah, when you go to camp, you think, "Well, I'm jealous of that dorm over there." Woo! And he would have missed out. But you know who else would have missed out the most? Joe would have. And so my encouragement to us today is, no matter where we find ourselves, if God is faithful to us, and He is, His Word tells us that, then let's be faithful to one another. Can we do that? In the name of Jesus, I want you to stand.
It's often our challenge to live outside of ourselves and outside of, I guess, the realm of our influence in the sense of what is our personal gain. So God asks us and certainly gifts us with the ability to be faithful to one another in living the life that He has called us to live. Do it this week in the power of the Spirit. Thank you for joining us. We hope you have a great week. God bless you.